In this section of Ephesians, we've been learning about how to walk as Jesus walked. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24 says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." So, we are commanded to put off the old and to put on the new. In recent verses, Paul has gotten specific. Put off falsehood and speak truthfully. Be angry, but do not sin. Steal no longer, but work. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is good for building others up. If we continue with our old sinful ways, the results are very serious, more serious than we might imagine. Not only does our sin hurt us and those around us, but tragically, our sin also hurts God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." The grief we cause. Number one, we cause grief. Grieve means to make sorrowful, to cause emotional pain. When we don't let the Spirit of God control our lives, we sadden Him. He is hurt by words and actions which are not loving. Any crime against others, especially against the family of God, is a crime against the Spirit Himself, and it causes Him pain. I think this verse is one of the most moving verses in the Bible. The command itself speaks to an important truth. The Spirit who indwells us is capable of feeling and is thus a person, not an it. It kills me when people call the Holy Spirit it. He is not an it, He's a He. The Holy Spirit is not a phantom. He's not a force. The Holy Spirit is a person with a heart. He is someone who cares and who feels. Of God the Father, Isaiah said, "In all their affliction, He," God the Father, "was afflicted." At Lazarus' tomb, God the Son wept. Our present text tells us that God the Holy Spirit has emotional responses. He is susceptible to grief, and it is within our power, each one of us, to grieve Him. Think on that for just a moment. It is within our power to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. At times, people have refrained from sin due to the grief it would cause a parent. Sometimes we hear people say something like this: "Well, I just couldn't do it because I knew how it would hurt my mother." The same motivation can help us if we deem the Spirit who lives within us to be a person who is capable of grief. As we ponder the fact that the Holy Spirit within us has feelings, This should motivate us to please him, not make him sad. The fact that we are capable of grieving God is actually an amazing evidence of God's love for us. Let me explain. God has forever been totally self-sufficient. He has never needed anything, but he chose to create beings which he would allow to make him sad or glad. God chose to create an opportunity for loving relationships. Pastor W.A. Criswell said this, "Whenever one loves someone, he lays himself open for hurt as wide as the sky." That's true. Becoming a parent is much the same thing. When we have children, we love them deeply. But at the very same moment, we open ourselves up to enormous pain. And that is exactly what God did. Deity, grieving over frail creatures of dust, really is a marvelous truth. God does not reign over us in isolation, separated from us by a vast gulf. No, rather, God chose to take up residence in the cottage of our hearts. The Spirit of God indwells us, and he is intimately involved in our day-to-day existence. It should, therefore, be our heart's desire that the Holy Spirit be able to dwell cheerfully within us. We should love and respect the Spirit who indwells us. All sin hurts God, but evil within his children, his own children, especially pierces the Holy Spirit because he cannot escape the scene of the sin. Once he enters a believer's heart, he never leaves. He cannot flee, and thus he must endure within the confines of the ugliness of our sin. Rather than leave us when we sin, the Holy Spirit withdraws to a corner of our hearts to grieve. When we grieve the Spirit, all spiritual empowerment for our lives grinds to a screeching halt. So think of it. Think of it. When you are overwhelmed by deep, painful, heavy heart, you cannot perform your tasks as you otherwise would, and neither can the Spirit of God. When we grieve him, he cannot comfort us in the same way. He cannot teach us in the same way. He cannot help us in the same way. He never leaves us, but he does withhold the manifestations of his presence when we run after sin. Our sins grieve the Holy Spirit for at least three reasons. First, he is grieved for our sake. He is alarmed, he is troubled when we choose paths of sinful rebellion. He hurts over the self-inflicted damage that sin causes in our lives. Because he loves us, the Holy Spirit grieves over our destructive ways. Second, he is grieved for Jesus' sake. Our sins open fresh wounds in our precious Savior. Jesus died to redeem us that we might love him and follow him and live with him and be loyal to him. But when we love our sin more than we love Jesus, the Holy Spirit grieves over Jesus' sadness. Third, He is grieved for the lost's sake. His assignment is to draw unbelievers unto himself, a task made more difficult by our sins. So, when we sin, we make it harder for those without Christ to come to him. What an awful thing that is, that we would selfishly choose our sin over the salvation of others. Imagine grief for us, grief for Jesus, grief for the lost. Our sins cause the Spirit within us to suffer grief on three different fronts. Perhaps this may help explain why sin and sadness and depression can sometimes go hand in hand. Because we are knit as one with the Holy Spirit, when He is grieved, it also drags us down. Let me give you an analogy of that. When my sweet wife Crystal is sad, I am sad. When I am sad, Crystal is sad. Our lives are so knit together as one that we cannot help but feel what the other one feels. This same thing happens, and it applies to believers and the Holy Spirit. We share a oneness with Him that we cannot escape. When the Spirit is sad, we too will struggle and be sad. The Holy Spirit was there when the plan of salvation was conceived. He was one of its original designers. The Son offered to submit to the Father, and the Spirit submitted to both the Father and the Son. The Son volunteered to redeem us, but someone had to retrieve us. So the Spirit volunteered to come fetch us, to apply to us the redemption purchased for us by Christ. Jesus would not let us perish, and the Spirit would not let us go. He pursued us, and He wooed us. Initially, many of us said no, but the Spirit was relentless. We said leave, but the Spirit was relentless. We would have dashed ourselves against the walls of hell, but the Spirit was relentless. He continued to love us and pursue us. For those who are saved, He convicted us, He touched our hearts, and He brought us to Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Throughout your Christian life, how often would you have thrown yourself into sin had it not been for the Spirit's influence in your life? He is the one, the Spirit of God is the one who energizes us and enables us to do what the Father commands. Additionally, the Bible says that He, the Spirit of God, is our teacher and He is our comforter. All that we have learned of God, He has taught us. As our comforter, He binds up our brokenness. As a follower of Christ, let me ask you this. As a follower of Christ, have you ever been in a situation in which your heart was broken and in which you sensed an unexplainable comfort come over you like a wave of the ocean? If you've ever experienced anything like that, I'll tell you who that was. It was the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter, at work in your life. Let me share with you a time, and I probably won't make it without crying. Carolyn, you're going to cry with me, please. I'll feel better. Let me share with you a time when the Comforter ministered to me in an unusual way. When I was 15 years old, my father was diagnosed with prostate cancer. Unfortunately, they did not find it early. By the time they found it, it had already spread to his bones. Watching your dad die of cancer is an awful, terrible, horrible thing. Sometimes when I came home from school, the first thing I would hear was my dad crying and moaning and writhing in pain. I'm telling you, it was more than I could handle. One day, my dad was back in the hospital again, and I got home and was alone again after school. I knew my dad was dying, and I was beside myself with grief and fear. I began to cry, slowly at first, then more. Soon, I was crying hysterically. I was hysterically falling apart. As I cried and I wailed, I tried to sing the only song that came to my mind at that moment. I had Tom have us sing it this morning, "Faith is the Victory." So picture this scene. I'm in my living room, pacing back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. I am hurting like I've never hurt before. I'm praying as best I can, and I am crying hysterically while trying to sing, "Faith is the Victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world." I was a complete wreck, and I didn't know how to survive the moment, much less my dad's impending death. But then slowly, powerfully, something came over me. I cannot explain. A calm and a peace began to fill my heart and my life, and it was profound. I really do not know how to explain it. I felt the personal presence of God. In a way I had never experienced before or since. I knew God loved me. I knew God was with me. I knew no matter what comes, God will never leave me. I had no idea what I was experiencing at that moment, but looking back, now I understand far more than I did at that time. That was the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, meeting my needs in ways that were beyond words. He gave me what I needed when I needed it, the peace of God that passed all human understanding. And so I say, child of God, the Holy Spirit loves you intimately and personally. I beg you, do not grieve the Holy Spirit with your sin. Scripture also says that we can quench the Holy Spirit. If we grieve the Holy Spirit long enough, we will eventually quench his blessings and his power in our lives. Additionally, unbelievers can resist the Holy Spirit when they refuse to let him enter their lives. If the lost resist him for a lifetime and never receive him, they become guilty of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which is the unpardonable sin. There comes a time when saying no to the Spirit means no forever. And the Spirit will woo us and call us no more. W.A. Criswell wrote these very sad words. There is a time, I know not when, a place I know not where, that marks the destiny of men to glory or despair. There is a line by us unseen that crosses every path, the hidden boundary between God's mercy and God's wrath. It's very serious. Very serious. Christians can grieve and quench the Spirit. The lost can resist and blaspheme the Spirit. These four verbs all account for a prominent trait in the Holy Spirit: sensitivity. The Holy Spirit has a sensitive heart, and he can be hurt. At the judgment, I fear that we will be stunned by the multitude of times we were guilty of insensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we hurt him as a result of carelessness, and sometimes we hurt him as a result of simply not caring. It might be an impure thought, or an unkind word, or a rebellious action, or pure old-fashioned laziness to do what he tells us to do. But whatever it is, the Holy Spirit has to endure the pain that we cause. He really does deserve better. Number two, we cause grief to the Holy One. Note the descriptor of the Spirit of God. He is holy. Holy is not his first name. Last name Spirit, first name Holy. No. Holy is a descriptor of his character. The Greek literally reads, "Grieve not the Spirit, the Holy One of God." He who indwells us is holy. Holiness is the essence of his being. Thus, we can grieve him by offending his holiness. The Holy One is hurt by that which is unholy. Holiness is always very sensitive. Increasing holiness, therefore, always increases sensitivity, not only in the Holy Spirit, but in you. Because he is holy, the Spirit labors within us to increase our holiness. That's his assignment. This is the work of sanctification. The Holy Spirit doesn't want to have to grab us by the hair and drag us along. His desire is to lead us, not drag us, to paths of righteousness. However, if he has to, he will do whatever it takes to fulfill his assignment. Part of his grief is what he sometimes has to do to get us to cooperate. It brings him no joy when he has to bring pain into our lives to help us conform to the image of his Son. The Spirit does not want to have to do that, but he will, because he loves us that much. So, putting yourself in the path of a bulldozer is dangerous. But that's child's play compared to getting in the way of Holy Spirit sanctification. If you are a follower of Jesus, God won't leave you alone. He won't leave you as you are. If somehow you think that salvation is just fire insurance from hell, you're wrong. God is determined through His Spirit to make you and me just like Jesus. So be wise. Cooperate with the Spirit of God. Number three, we cause grief to the Spirit of God. We believe in a Trinity, a triune God. At the baptism of the Son, the Father spoke, and the Spirit descended in the form of a dove. Jesus commanded us to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are co-equal, one God expressed in three persons. So, why do I emphasize the divinity, the godness of the Holy Spirit? Because I think we've not done Him justice in this regard. We often neglect to give Him, the Spirit of God, the same esteem and worship that we give to the Father and the Son. Why is that? The Holy Spirit is God in us. Perhaps our worst insult to Him is when we go about our lives acting as if He who indwells us does not exist. It seems to me many people's concept of the Holy Spirit is defective. To many people, He is some sort of emanation of divine influence, a force. Kind of like in Star Wars, Luke, let the Force be with you. No, the Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force. He is the third person of the Trinity, and He actively lives within you if you are saved. This disregard for the person of the Holy Spirit is made even worse when we consider the role that He plays in our lives right now. One of those key roles is listed in our next key point, number four. We cause grief to the one who sealed us. It says, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. At our conversion, the Father seals us with the Holy Spirit. He seals us. Okay, what does that mean? This picture is not what the Bible is referring to when it says we are sealed. Just a little bit of humor there. In Bible days, seals were official marks placed on letters and contracts, bills of sale, important documents, etc. Seals performed at least three significant functions. First, seals authenticated a completed transaction. It wasn't sealed until the transaction was complete. Also, seals marked ownership. Also, seals provided security. Pilate sealed the stone on Jesus' tomb. Anyone who dared break a seal bearing the authority of Rome would quickly forfeit his life. That's security. So, a seal provided security. The Holy Spirit, who lives within us, is God's seal of everlasting security. So the Spirit's presence within us is our seal, our confirmation that our salvation is a finished transaction. The Holy Spirit, within us is the basis of our assurance. He is the one who applies the results of Calvary to us individually, and being the seal, he is the one who keeps us saved. A seal is a seal. It would be meaningless for God to give us a seal if it could be broken and undone. Why have a seal in the first place if it can be nullified? We are saved by grace. We are kept by grace forever by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not my power, not your power, not Parkway's power, by the power of the Spirit of God. How then can we flippantly grieve him? As you dwell upon the assurance and the security that the Holy Spirit gives you, if this is not an overwhelming motivation to walk away from your sins, something is wrong. If the Spirit of God within you does not motivate you, something is wrong. Gratitude alone should be all we need to walk in holiness day by day. The final phrase in this verse tells us that we are sealed for a particular day, for the day of redemption. The Spirit's indwelling presence in our lives proves that the Son has bought us, and it certifies that the Father shall someday possess us 100%. The Holy Spirit will not leave us. He is committed to indwell us to the end, until our salvation is totally consummated. And when will that be? The day of redemption. So, when the Spirit of God enters your heart through salvation, he doesn't just give you temporary life. He gives you eternal life. And in this, we greatly rejoice. Thank God, my salvation is not dependent on me. Enough for today. Let's pray.